What's up, ACAC Church family? How y'all doing today? Good. My name is Seth Reichert, and I'm the Director of Athletics at Urban Impact. And I also serve as an elder here at Allegheny Center Alliance Church. And it's my privilege and my honor to be able to bring the word of the Lord here to you today. I'm so excited to preach the word of God, and I pray that you're just as excited as to receive it today in Jesus' name. And so before I get started, let me just say, may the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Thank you. I need that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, you are worthy of all of our praise. We thank you, God, that we have the privilege and the opportunity to be in your presence, to know of your love, God. Lord Jesus, today we fix our eyes on you, the resurrected Savior, the one with the long white beard and the long white hair and the fiery eyes with the golden sash across your chest, the one who rides in victorious over sin and death, who conquered the grave on our behalf. We look to you, Jesus. We want to experience you today, Jesus. Let us see with your eyes, Father. Let us hear from your heart, God, today. Stir us, change us, transform us by the power of your gospel in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, I don't know if your family culture was anything like mine, but I grew up, my dad loved setting goals. And so he always had us set goals into the new year. So today, I'm going to help you set your first goal for the new year. Can I do that for you today? Today, 2019, here's your goal. No more stinky feet, all right? No more stinky feet. That's going to make some sense here in a minute. My son Roman needs to set this goal for his life. One day before school, Roman decided that he was going to be very helpful and go out and let the dog outside. It was raining that day, and Roman went out in his socks into the dog pen and started to walk around the dog pen. Can you see where I'm going with this? He came back in the house and slipped his feet inside of his shoes and went off to school. Well, later that night, we got this email from his teacher, and here's what it reads. It says, "Dear Reichert, you know I don't pull any punches, so I'm just going to be frank with you. Roman smelled very bad today. Honestly, you could tell where he had been because he left behind an awful odor. I've smelled body odor before. I have three boys, and this was not that. It honestly smelled like cat urine or a litter box. Ugh." Now, at this point, my wife is mortified, and I'm cracking up. I can't believe we're getting this email from his teacher. She said, "So I had him remove his socks and seal them in a Ziploc bag and take them to his locker. Sorry, that means he spent the rest of the afternoon in nothing but his shoes with no socks. I hope at this point that you're laughing or at least smiling. I know what it is to have dirty, smelly kids. Anyway, I also thought you'd want to know so you could throw his socks and maybe his whole outfit and his shoes in the wash as soon as he gets in the door. You will definitely notice. I never noticed Roman smelling bad before, but everyone did today. And I knew that you would want to know. Sincerely, Miss Teacher." Thank you, Miss Teacher, for letting us know that our kid stinks. We appreciate that. Well, I have some good news for you today from the living God. God did not create you to have stinky feet. The living God created you to have beautiful feet, that you would go and share the good news of the gospel with everybody that you meet, everywhere that you go. I've come to deliver a message to you today on behalf of God, that God has called you to have beautiful feet. So I want you to help me out right now and turn to your neighbor and help give the title of my sermon to them. Say, "Neighbor, you have beautiful feet." Now turn to the other neighbor, the one you really wanted to talk to, and turn to them and say, "Neighbor, you have beautiful feet." That's right, we're talking about beautiful feet today. Romans 10:15 says this, "And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." How many preachers in the house here today? Raise your hand if you're a preacher in the house here today. Raise your hand nice and high so I can see. Newsflash, if you're a born-again follower of Jesus Christ, your hand should be shooting in the air. So I'm asking you again, how many preachers in the house of the gospel of Jesus Christ? You have a message of hope living inside of you, and the world needs to hear it. Not only does the world need to hear it, but you need to share it. You know where else it talks about feet in the Bible? Is in Ephesians chapter 6. When God is preparing us to stand our ground against the devil's schemes, he calls us to stand with our feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. See, as we proclaim the peace of God to the world, he gives us the peace of God in the world. We are commanded to preach the good news of Jesus for the salvation of the world and also for our protection in the world. See, Jesus wants us to preach the good news of the gospel to our friends, to our family members, to our coworkers, to our neighbors, to everybody that we come in contact with. In order to preach Jesus, though, you have to know Jesus. You know you can't give away what you don't have? So my first assignment from the Father today is to make sure that everybody in the room has had an opportunity to respond to the good news of Jesus. I have some good news for you. You want some good news today? Here's the greatest news you'll ever hear. Jesus loves you. Don't let that pass you by. That is great news. Jesus loves you. It says this in Romans 5:8, that God demonstrates his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is good news. Now, I have 7 sons and 1 little girl, and I know a lot of preachers put their kids up on the screen, so I'm not going to do that to you today. Well, actually, yeah, I am. There they are. I love my kids. They're beautiful. I love my children. I would give up my life for my kids. I can't imagine giving up their life for anybody, though. But you know, that's exactly what God the Father did for you. He only had 1 son, and it says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. See, Jesus died on the cross as an expression of the Father's heart for you. He paid full price for your life to purchase you back from the kingdom of darkness and to set you into God's family. This is good news. Jesus is alive, though. You know, 3 days later, Jesus didn't stay dead. 3 days later, Jesus resurrected from the dead, and he lives today. And because of that, he can offer you eternal life. In John 11:25, it says, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. See, Jesus died and was resurrected from the dead to give you eternal life. This is great news. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. That's a promise. So my first question is, have you ever surrendered your life to Jesus Christ? I'm going to give you an opportunity at the end, but you know you're not limited by an altar call. If the Holy Spirit begins to draw you to himself as we go through this message, you can call out on the name of Jesus. Jesus is the only name under heaven whereby man can be saved. As you call on the name of Jesus, say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Empower me to live for you. The Holy Spirit will come rushing in and rescue you. Jesus will save you right where you sit today and set you on a new course. This is great news. It's your life in exchange for his. It's the best deal in the universe. Here's the great news about it. It's only the beginning. This is only the beginning. See, Jesus died and rose again from the dead to get you into heaven. But he also died and rose again to get heaven into you. He wants to unleash his kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven through your life. If Jesus only died to get you into heaven, then as soon as we surrender our life to Jesus, it should be, beam me up, Scotty. I'm coming home. I'm going to glory. I'm going where there's no more sickness and pain and death anymore. I'm going to the feet of Jesus. So why do we remain on this earth full of pain and sickness and sorrow and death, hate? Let me submit to you that we remain here to be carriers of his presence. See, Jesus places his presence in you, and he delivers his essence through you. You are pregnant with the promises of God. He wants to deliver his hope all over the world through your life. This is good news. That's why I love, if you continue to read in Romans chapter 10, down a couple verses in verse 13, it says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. See, Jesus died and rose again to save you, yes. But not just to save you, but to save everybody who would believe in his message of hope and love because of your life, because of your testimony, because you're willing to stand for Jesus and unleash his love into the world. That's why it continues to say in verse 14 and 15, how then can they call on the one who they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one who they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. It's my desire to send you out as preachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ today, to send you out to proclaim his message of hope to the world. You know, people are dying every day without ever hearing the message of Jesus' love for them, and they're going and spending a godless eternity in hell. Every time I snap my fingers, somebody all over the world dies and goes and spends a godless eternity in hell without ever hearing a proclamation that Jesus is the Savior of the world. that sink in. That's why I love what it says. In verse 15, it says, how beautiful to the Father, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. A couple years ago, I was in the gym here at the YMCA on the north side, and I was working out. I got to know a guy named Evan, and we were just having a conversation between our sets, and we built a little bit of a friendship. And one day I asked Evan, can I share the good news of Jesus with you? And Evan wasn't real interested in that. And so we just kind of kept lifting together, and months went by, a year went by. Finally, Evan came to me one morning. And he said, hey, Seth, you know that conversation we had about Jesus? Can we meet tonight so I can ask you more about that? We talk more about that? I said, absolutely. He asked me to meet him at a local bar. How many of y'all know that Jesus can meet you wherever you are? So I met him that night, and he shared with me how his girlfriend had broken up with him. He had no purpose in life. He felt like he was just kind of wasting his life away. He had no hope for his future. And I was able to introduce him to the hope of the world. Jesus Christ came rushing into that bar that night and saved this man's life. Now this man has fully surrendered his life to Jesus. He's over here at Bible study every Thursday morning, committing to walking in discipleship and relationship with Jesus. He's serving young people through sports. He's going into his workplace, and he's no longer just giving emotional and mental help to his clients, but he's offering them spiritual help and guidance in Jesus' name, by Jesus' power and the power of the gospel. This is what God has for us every day, looking for opportunities to share the love of Jesus with people. But I'm afraid some of us have stinky feet. Now I have some authority to speak about stinky feet. I got 7 boys, y'all. Here's one thing I know about stinky feet. If you keep your feet inside your shoes too long, they begin to stink and become rancid. Some of us have been in church so long. Some of us have been in the faith so long. But we have this fear in us that keeps us from stepping out and sharing the good news of the gospel with our family, with our friends, with our coworkers in our neighborhood, with the people we bump into all throughout our life. We become slaves to fear. But you know, perfect love drives out fear. And I don't say this today to condemn you. Hear me when I say this. God does not condemn you, and neither do I, neither can I. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. What that means is the moment that you're in Christ Jesus, there's nobody that can hold shame or guilt upon you. Shame and guilt tries to say, this is what you did or what you did not do, so this is who you are. But the conviction of the Holy Spirit says, this is who you are. You're a beloved, forgiven child of God. Now start doing this or stop doing that. If you have stinky feet today, I'm not telling you that you're a stinky foot. If you have stinky feet today, I'm saying kick those shoes off and start walking around for all the world to see just how beautiful your feet are to Jesus. Start telling people about his love for you, the hope that you have in him, what he has saved you from, how he has restored you. This is good news. God wants to use us in this way. He wants us to trample on the devil's territory with the good news of the gospel of the readiness comes from the gospel of peace. But we got to know who we are in Christ. Did you know in Christ that you're forgiven? That you're loved? That you're reconciled to God? You have peace with God? You've been bought at a high price. It cost him his son. You're a citizen of heaven. You have access to God the Father. Do you know in Christ you're justified? You have fellowship with all the saints. I don't know if you can hear me, but you're acceptable to God. In Jesus Christ, you're of the family and of the household of God. Can I get a witness that you're glorified in Jesus Christ? You're on the rock, Jesus Christ. You are redeemed. You have a living relationship with God. You're free from the law. You have received adoption into God's family. You're delivered from the power of darkness. You're a gift from God the Father to Jesus Christ. You're set apart in Christ. You're a member of a royal and a holy priesthood. You're a chosen generation, a holy nation, a peculiar people. You're Jesus' inheritance from the Father. You're the light of the world. Can you hear me? You're the salt of the earth. Can I get a witness? You're united to the Father. You're blessed with the earnest first fruits of the Spirit. You're complete in him. You're now possessing every spiritual blessing because you are a child of God. This is good news. You're a son of the King. You're a daughter of the King. Now rise up. Stand for him. Tell the world of his love. Oh, he's so good. We're King's kids. It says this in John chapter 1, verse 12. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to be called children of God. Children not born of natural descent, nor of a human's decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. You've been born of God. There's no reason to fear. You're a child of God. There's no reason to fear. If he is for you, who can be against you? Romans 8:15 said, "For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Papa, Daddy, Father." And the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. You are a son of the living God. You're a daughter of the King of Kings. He's so good. He's so good. And now that we know who we are, Jesus wants us to live like Jesus, to love like Jesus. The bad news is it's impossible to live like Jesus. Everything Jesus did was in a perfect alignment from the assignment that the Father gave him. He was the perfect expression of the love of God. The good news is what is impossible with man is possible with God. I don't know if you heard me, but what is impossible with man is possible with God. After all, it's no longer you who lives, and it's no longer I who live, but it's Christ. Galatians 2:20 says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me." You see, Jesus is in you, and he wants to get out. Does anybody want to let Jesus out today? Does anybody want to scream and shout today that Jesus Christ is Lord? The gates of hell will not prevail against the proclamation that he's the King, that he's the Messiah, that he's the awaited, anointed one who has come to rescue you, to save you, to set you free. Shout loud in here, but shout even louder out there. Let people know about his love. About a year ago, my wife and I were at a birthday party at a friend's house, and we left her house, and she pointed out that there was somebody broken down along the road. She knows I love to get out and talk to people about Jesus. And so I got out and I said, "Hey, man, what's your name?" He said, "My name's London." I said, "Hey, London, what brings you to the north side?" He said, "I came to go to Kmart." Now, if you didn't know, we don't have a Kmart on the north side. So I said, "Okay, well, I'm just going to roll with this." So I asked him if I could give him a jump. I tried to give him a jump, couldn't get his car to start. So I took a step of faith, and I said, "London, I'm no mechanic, but I know a Jesus who can heal your car just to show you how much he loves you. Can we just pray and ask Jesus to heal your car?" So we lay our hands on his car, and he's kind of looking at me funny like this, and praying in the name of Jesus, "Jesus, would you heal London's car just as an expression of your love for him?" Got in the car full of faith. Jesus is going to start this car. Turn the key. Nothing. I'm like, "All right, Jesus. I know you love this guy. I know you want him to be in relationship with you. Please heal this car, Lord God, so that you could just show him how much you love him." Turn the key, nothing. Prayed again, turn the key, nothing. So I got out of my car. It was a school night, getting ready to take my kids back home. And the Holy Spirit prompted me as I was getting my car, "You never shared the gospel with him." So I got back out of my car and I said, "Hey, London, I know your car didn't start, but have you ever surrendered your life to Jesus Christ before?" He said, "No, I never really have. I grew up going to church with my grandma, and when the music would play, I would feel something inside of me, and my grandma would say that was the Holy Spirit drawing me to himself. But then my mom passed away, and I got addicted to drugs, and ever since then, I haven't felt that ever again." I said, "Today, London, Jesus is calling you into a relationship with him." And I shared the gospel with him. I gave him an invitation to accept the love of God in his life, and he said, "You know what? I got to get some things cleaned up before I surrender to Jesus." You know, that's one of the lies of the enemy, that you got to get yourself cleaned up to get to God, but actually you got to get to God in order to get cleaned up. So I gave him the invitation again after I told him that, and then he surrendered his life to Jesus Christ. You know, this is the kind of opportunity that God wants you looking for everywhere that you go. It could be as simple as finding a friend who's going through a difficult time, or a coworker, and saying, "Hey, can I just pray for you today?" Do you know when somebody agrees to let you pray for them, they're putting themselves under the authority of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you, and he can do whatever he wants to do? It's amazing. People are in need today. We need to respond in the love of God. You could bake some cookies or take in some donuts to your workplace or to your neighbors and just say, "Hey, you know what? I just want to give this to you because Jesus gave so much to me, and I just want you to know how much Jesus loves you." How about next time you're in line at your favorite coffee shop, instead of getting angry about how long the line's taking, start a conversation with the person in front of you or behind you. And when you get to the register, buy their drink or their meal and tell them, this is on Jesus. He loves you so much. He wants you to just know how much he loves you. What if we left churches on the weekend and when we're sitting there in our Sunday best, we're sitting in the restaurant, we ask our waiter or our waitress before we eat our meal if we could pray for them for anything. And then just pray for them right there in the restaurant. You never know what people are going through. People are carrying heavy stuff. They need to encounter the love of God. Now, if you're going to do that, don't be stingy. Leave a nice tip. Leave like 50 to 100% of the bill. Don't be a stingy Christian. We serve a generous God. He wants us to be a generous people. And we need to let people know that we're not just being generous and we're not just showing love to pay it forward. We're showing out this love because he paid it forward. He paid it backward and forward. Jesus Christ paid it all on the cross for us. See, we love only because he first loved us. Amen? Amen? I believe if we go out of this place living in such a way, we would transform the world. But our compulsion to share the gospel of Jesus Christ has to flow out of love. It can't come out of some sense of duty, guilt, or obligation. We are commanded to do the work of an evangelist in 2 Timothy 4:5. We're called to be prepared to give a reason for the hope that we have in 1 Peter 3:15. You are commanded to communicate and demonstrate the truth and the love of Jesus, but our motivation must always be the love of Jesus. And I believe if you look with the eyes of the Father and you live with the heart of Jesus, then you will find people who are in need of his love, or they will find you. Just a couple weekends ago, I was at a conference that was about Jesus, and I was had a lunch break during the conference, and I figured if Jesus had a lunch break during his conference, he'd probably try to go out and tell people about himself. So I walked around during my lunch break looking for opportunities to share the gospel with people, and I met a guy named Tevin who was parking cars. He was doing the valet thing, and as he was coming back and forth, we were having conversations about surrendering his life to Jesus. I checked with his manager. You got to respect authority, and his manager gave his blessing. So we just kind of had a conversation as he was kind of going back and forth, taking keys to the cars. And through the course of that conversation, Tevin surrendered his life to Jesus Christ. Now, I share these stories of victory with you today, but you know I've had to be rejected thousands of times in order to be able to come to you today and share these stories of victory. I've had to overcome insurmountable fear to be able to stand to you today and say, this is somebody who got rescued by the love of Jesus. We have to be willing to overcome our fear. And God calls us to greater and greater risks. I was on my way back from this conference, and I was reading Exodus chapter 12. And as I was reading, the Holy Spirit gave me a picture of me. I'm in the back of the airplane, walking up to the front of the airplane, praying for the flight attendants, going into the restroom, and then coming out and preaching the gospel to the entire airplane. And I'm like, Jesus, this is a bad idea. I'm like, I'm a big guy. There's probably a U.S. Marshal on here. He's going to shoot me. I don't know. I might get arrested. I don't know if this is a good idea. This is kind of, you know, this is risky business, Jesus. And so I said, okay, Jesus, when I finish reading Exodus 12, I will get up and go and do this thing. And so I'm all in. Game on. Let's go. And so finish reading the chapter. I get up. I go out and pray for the flight attendants. I go into the restroom, and I'm in the restroom just shaking in fear. And I'm like, God, give me boldness to preach the gospel. And I step out onto that airplane and I proclaim to everybody, excuse me, everybody, can I have your attention? I have some good news for you. Jesus loves you. In fact, God demonstrated his love for you in this way, that while you are still a sinner, Christ died for you. And he's calling some of you into relationship with him today. If you would just surrender your life to Jesus, your life would be forever changed. Excuse me, sir, can you please have a seat? Yes, ma'am. That was scary. But Jesus showed up. He loves that. You know, the devil will try to give you a bad day. I have this tumor in my spinal canal that I'm believing fully that Jesus is going to heal. I had to go to the doctor about a year ago, and this doctor wasn't real excited about me having that perspective. And so he sent me away for a year, came back, monitored it. And I was back in the hospital just this past week to find out that Jesus had not yet healed my tumor. But I decided before I ever went there that as I'm sitting in the waiting room, every single person is going to have an opportunity to be prayed for. That as I go into the MRI and I come back out, the nurses are going to hear about the love of Jesus. As I'm in with my doctor and he tells me, hey, son, you still have that tumor in your back. I'm going to be able to lay my hands on him and proclaim to him, well, I know a great physician. And even though he hasn't yet healed my body, he can heal your soul and your spirit. So I'm going to pray for you. in Jesus' name. You know what? The devil will try to put his fear on you. But greater is he who's in you than he who is in the world. I have nothing to fear. If God is for me, who could be against me? Absolutely nothing. Who's ready to share the good news of Jesus today? Yeah? Now here, you got to go out and be willing to do it in your own gifting, in your own wiring. My wife is never going to stand up on an airplane and do that. She doesn't like to come out to the streets with me and pray for people. But every single nurse that comes into the house, every single caseworker that comes into our house, when they ask her, why do you do this thing? Why do you live this kind of lifestyle? She always points to the person of Jesus. And I don't know anybody in my life who's heard this statement more than her. I've never shared this with anybody before, but, and then they share their secrets with her, and she shares the love of Jesus with them. So you gotta be you, but share who Jesus is to you. Share your story. Share your testimony. Acts 1:8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, to the outer parts of the earth. So there's really three responses today. I want you to just close your eyes and do business with God here today. Three responses that you could have to this message. One, if you've never surrendered your life to Jesus today, you could commit your life to Jesus today. Number two, you could commit to begin sharing the gospel with people. And I want you to make a commitment to share with somebody this week. Or three, you could reject the command of God and therefore forfeit the promise of God to give you beautiful feet. And I pray that won't be your response. So I want to give you an opportunity. If you've never committed your life to Jesus today, on the count of three, I want you to raise your hand as a way of saying, I'm living for Jesus from this day forward. That Jesus guy, he did it all for me, and I just want to give him my life. My life in exchange for him. Jesus died for you. All he wants you to do is live for him. If you've never surrendered your life to Jesus today, on the count of three, I want you to raise your hand and commit your life to Jesus. One, Jesus died to pay the price and the penalty for your sin. Two, if you would just confess him as Lord and Savior of your life, make him the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords of your life, he will rescue you, restore you, and give you fullness of life. Three, raise your hands all over the room. If you've never committed your life today, shoot your hand up. Stand for Jesus right now in this moment. Thank you. I see your hand. Keep it raised on behalf of Jesus. Just standing in the presence of God and call out on the name of the Lord right now. Jesus, I want the whole church to pray this prayer to make it more comfortable for the people who respond right now. Jesus, I thank you for your love for me. Father, I thank you for sending your one and only Son to die on the cross for my sin. Today, God, I give my life to you. Please forgive me of my sins and fill me with the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, there's a second group I want to talk to today. I want to talk to people who are already fiery for the gospel and you just want more of Jesus' passion and fire in your life to respond to the immediate opportunities that are right in front of you. I want to talk to the people who might feel a little stagnant in your faith and maybe you haven't shared in a long time or you've never really shared with somebody, but you want to be activated and you want the Holy Spirit to come on you and give you this power that he promises to make you bold witnesses all over the world wherever you go. Right now, I want to give you an opportunity to stand for Jesus. You know, if you stand for Jesus, he'll stand with you. You know, if you move for God, he'll move with you. We need to activate our faith sometimes by a physical response, and God joins us in that. Heaven joins us in that and unleashes the power and the presence of God in your life. So right now, I want to give you an opportunity. If you feel compelled, and don't stand because anybody else is standing, stand if the Holy Spirit is drawing you. Right now, you stand to your feet and say, I'm serving Jesus. This week, I'm going to tell somebody about Jesus. Some of us need to come to the altar today and say, Jesus, I'm going to make a scene of you, Jesus, today, and come down and say, I'm surrendering it all to the King. Don't let fear of man persuade you. This is the easiest place to stand. If God's calling you to come, you come. Because there's people all over the world being beheaded and mutilated and murdered for the gospel. This is the easiest place to stand. We got to stand for Jesus here so we can stand for him out there. So if you feel compelled right now to receive the power of God in your life, then it would be like fire shut up in your bones. You can't help yourself. The joy of the Lord becomes your strength. You overflow with the oil of God all over the world. Then right now, you just open your hands to heaven. If you want to come, you come. If you want to stand, you stand. If you want to sit, you sit. But you open yourselves up to heaven as a way of just saying, God, I want more of you. I just want more of your power to make me a faithful witness, a bold witness, a loving witness of you, God. So God, I just pray for every hand that's raised in the room, every person who's standing in the room. I pray right now the power of God come right now. The power of the Holy Spirit, the fire of God would surge through people's veins and bones and spirits and souls. That you would, it would be a complete takeover, Holy Spirit. Jesus, we welcome you right now as a complete takeover in this place, Jesus. Would you just fill us up with so much zeal and excitement and enthusiasm? Would you fill us up with even more love, God, that we would, everything that we would do would flow out of your love for us, God. Right now, God, put your love in them. Put your love in them. More of you, Holy Spirit. Just give them vision of you, God. Give them dreams about what you have for their life. Lord God, activate the gifts of the Spirit in them that they would be able to just live for you in boldness and who they are, whatever you've gifted them to do, God, that they would do it for you, Jesus, until you return. We love you, Jesus. You're the King. You're the King. You reign supreme in all the earth. We love you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you. Thank you.